Reminders that if you are visiting with us today, in the back by the offering plate is a yellow card. If you could fill that out and just drop in the offering plate, and that way we have a record of your visit and just can get some information about you so you can stay connected to what's going on here at the church. A couple of reminders, Vacation Bible School is coming up July the 19th, and if you would like to register your child for that, you can do so by calling the church office or emailing myself if you're at home watching online, and we get that information to you. If you're here and you would like to register a child, there are information sheets out at the Welcome Center, the Credenza, or in a poster that's hanging around, and the Child Evangelism Fellowship will be hosting our Vacation Bible School. We do need some help with that. We need individuals to just kind of walk the different groups around and take them from one station to another station, a few individuals to help with the snacks out, and just one or two people to help with the craft during the week. It doesn't have to be the entire week, but maybe a day or two here. And Child Evangelism Fellowship will make sure that we have the craft, and they'll actually go over the craft and train the craft so that you're not just doing it cold turkey, but they'll actually go over how to do it. So if you're interested in helping with Vacation Bible School in any way, please let me know, and that way we can have a wonderful time with our kids here as they come and they have some time this summer and to grow and to learn about God. Also, just in the back, as you came in this morning, you might have seen two cards. One is a card that we'll be giving to the police department, just thanking them for all they've done and just for what they're doing in the community. And so if you would like to sign that thank you card for the police officers, you can do so in the back. There's also one there from Andy, from Andy's Market. I don't know if you heard, but he fell last week, and he really hurt his leg really bad. So we just, as a congregation, just want to sign a card to Andy, just saying, hey, Andy, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you, and we wish you the best. So those cards will be in the back this morning as you head out, if you just want to sign them really quickly. Just a way to thank our police department, as well as thanking Andy from Andy's Market. Along with that note, just a reminder of our sub sale that's going on, that if you would like to buy a ticket for a sub from Andy's Market for $6.50, you can do so. For $13, you get a ticket for yourself, and we'll donate one to the Columbia Police Department as well. So if you would like more information, you can see Lori Winders or call the church office, and we'll make sure that you get that information accordingly. Also, just want to take note that the July Dove is out, I believe, and you can get that at the Welcome Center and the Credenza as well. And if you're at home and you're watching and you would like any information, you can go to our website, ColumbiaUnitedMethodist.org, for more information about our church, or call the church office. Also, just a reminder that as you leave, the offering plates are in the back, or if you're at home watching and you would like to give, you can give online at our website as well, or you can stop by or send a donation if you would choose to do so. At this time, Melody has an announcement.
Good morning. Today, after the worship service, I would like to ask anybody who has been involved in the choir in the past or is interested in singing to come forward and just meet me up front here. I just want to have a really brief chat with you about where we're going with this. So if you've ever been in the choir, or if you would like to be, or just sing with our worship team, please come forward and meet me up front after the service. Thank you so much. Okay, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2 says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." So at this time, we have a special treat. You may be seated again. We have a special treat for us. Magda is going to come forward and share some worship songs with us.
Good morning. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. This little book, on the front it says El Himnario, which means the hymn book. Copyright was in 1931, so it's been around for 90 years. It's starting to fall apart, but I take good care of it. My mom and I, when we couldn't make it to church, she said, "Magda, let's sing." So we used to sing from this book, but it has no music. So the problem is that a lot of them I forgot. I only remember some of them. It has 491 hymns, and in the back it has like a little reading that the person in charge would read, and then the other people would read the bottom. On Mondays, there was a group of like 10 to 12 people that would go visit shut-ins, and we take that little book with us, and we spend about an hour with them. So I grew up with certain hymns that inspired my life. And I'm going to sing some for you today in Spanish. And if you know the tune, if you recognize it, I want you to hum along, okay? It'll help me too. I mostly remember 8 of them out of all of them. What I'm doing is going on the internet with that title and see if I can hear the music and remember them. So here we go. Roca de la eternidad, fuiste abierta para mí, se me esconde de lo fiel, solo encuentro paz en ti. Eres muro panantial en el cual lavado fui. Does sound familiar? Santo, 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 Señor omnipotente, siempre el labio mío lores te dará. Santo, 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 te adoro reverente, Dios en tres personas, bendita Trinidad. A la batalla y a la victoria, vamos con Dios nuestro Rey, que con su brazo fuerte y robusto siempre defiende su Grey. Pues sin temor avancemos, entusiasmados por fe, mientras alegres cantemos, gloria a Dios nuestro Rey. No es la victoria de los ligeros, no de los fuertes la paz, mas de los fieles en Cristo es el eterno solar. Abre mis ojos, mi Jesús, para mirar la hermosa luz, tu bella paz con esplendor ya me revela tu amor. En paz y la luz esperaré y tu amor comprenderé. Abre mis ojos en raudal luz celestial. Aviva tu obra, oh Dios, ejerce tu poder. Los muertos han de oír la voz que hoy hemos menester. Firmes y adelante, huestes de la fe, sin temor alguno, que Jesús nos ve, jefe soberano, Cristo al frente va y la rey enseña, tremolando está, firme hacia adelante, huestes de la fe, sin temor alguno, que Jesús nos ve. Oh, qué amigo no es Cristo, Él llevó nuestro dolor y nos manda que llevemos todo a Dios en oración. Vive el hombre desprovisto de pascos y santo amor. Esto es porque no llevamos todo a Dios en oración. De su trono, mi Jesús, a morir aquí bajo, y clavado en la cruz, mis pecados él expió. Cristo me ama, Cristo me ama, Cristo me ama, la Biblia dice así. So you see, there's a barrage, there's a language barrier, but when we praise the Lord, we're all one united choir.
Thank you, Magna. That's amazing. And it's just a good reminder that as we're here today worshiping together, that we have brothers and sisters around the world in different countries who are worshiping the same way we are. It might be in a different language, but it's exactly the same thing we're doing here today. And so that's awesome to share that. As we begin our time of worship this morning, if any kids would like to go down to Kids Only Worship, you can do that this time. But let us now come together and let us worship together.
Please stand. I'm going to read from Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known to all generations. And Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So let's join together in singing as we celebrate God's love and faithfulness. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us. To the setting sun, his love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever good, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tribe, from generation to generation, we worship you. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. You, hallelujah, that chorus one more time. We worship you.
The scripture reading for today is Matthew 6, 19 through 21 and verse 24. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. No one can serve two masters. He will hate the one or love the other, or he will devote to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And if everybody would like to say the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
is your name. We are here this morning because of you, because you are our all in all. We are here this morning because everything we say and we do and all the worship we have is for you, the audience of one. Because we're not here for anything else, but we are here because of you. We are here to give you thanks and praise because you are our all in all. And what we do for you. We give you thanks and praise. We come before you this morning and so thankful that you love us and you care for us. That's all because of you. And that's why we're here this morning. We pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds now as we receive the word, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, God, might be pleasing in your sight. That what is said would allow your spirit to speak to myself and speak to other individuals as well, as we continue to come and continue to worship you and continue to listen to your small, still voice speak to us. So God, we ask now that you be pleased with our worship. Amen. That was really, I think, a powerful worship for me. And I don't think, again, it's about like the songs necessarily that are chosen or the hymns or the band that's up here or whatever's playing. I think it's the heart attitude. And I think, you know, for me, you know, being able to experience, Magna, what you came up and shared with us this morning was something that was really special because of just being able to worship with you in a different language but still worship together was very powerful. So thank you for sharing that with us this morning, and thank you for allowing us to take part in that, because that's what worship is. It's just coming and giving ourselves to God. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of that this morning. This morning we're going to continue in our sermon series, Fact or Friction. Remember the first week we talked about friction or families and how sometimes we can allow outside things and stress and other things determine exactly what our reaction will be with our family members, whether it's in the church family or whether it's our kids or our aunts and uncles, grandparents, whoever it might be. Last week we talked about friction in our marriages, and again, if you remember, it wasn't a friction necessarily with two couples going at it, but was outside circumstances that might begin to weigh on the marriage, whether it's a job situation, a finance situation, whether it's a stress situation of dealing with another individual, and all that wears on us and begins to carry over and trickle into our marriage relationship. And so last week we talked about not only if our spouses, but also in any relationship or in the church, how do we handle those things that begin to weigh us down? Do we put a divide and we say, you know what, you're not on my side? Or do we work together as a team? And are we a team in our marriage? Or are we a team in the church? Or do we put a divide down and say, pick a side? Today we're going to be talking about friction in our time and our finances and how we might face some challenges when it comes to time and finances when we begin to look at those things here. We're looking at it because I think when hard times come, our finances are probably the first place that friction might occur. When we begin to look at our checkbooks and we begin to see bills that are coming, we might say, I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to handle this or pay for this. I only have X amount of dollars in my bank account. You might be on a fixed income and you might be saying, you know, I'm struggling to get through things month to month because I'm on a fixed income, but yet I have all these bills to pay and I have all these other things to do. I had to go to the doctor, that was unexpected, and now I have to take care of that doctor bill. Or you might have a car and a car issue comes up and now you got to take care of that. And you look at your finances and you go, I can only do so much with what I have. And all of a sudden, sometimes that friction can creep into our lives over our finances because we're trying to struggle with the issue of how can I make my money stretch as far as I want it to go when I need it to go. And friction sometimes can happen when we look at our checkbooks and we wonder, are we going to be able to make it to the next pay period? You see, sometimes it can also happen when we also try to keep up with individuals and we live outside of our lifestyle. Because we all know how much we need to live from day to day. We know how much we need to live from month to month. But a lot of times, we'll also try to live outside of our means and our lifestyle. Because we want to make sure that we fit in. We want to make sure we have the nicest things. We want to make sure that, you know, we have the nicest clothes, or we have the nicest car, or we have whatever it might be. Maybe it's a case where, you know, you're a parent and you want to make sure your kids are taken care of, and so you'll do whatever it takes for them, and maybe sometimes that stretches your budget. Or maybe you're a single parent and you're trying to raise your kids one way, and you're trying to instill upon them values, and then the other parent might live beyond their means and try to just buy things, whatever it might be. Whether it's in the church sometimes, we'll just say, hey, you know what, let's throw money at the problem or throw money at the situation. And then all of a sudden we go, well, now how are we going to pay for that? And we begin to get stressed in the church over our finances, because we begin to say, now we have all these things going on. We have all these ministries. But now what? How are we going to sustain them financially? And financial stress can begin to strep in the church, and begin to creep in the church and weigh on our minds. And all of a sudden we have the financial stress from church, and we have our own financial stress, and we have all this friction coming at us. And we're just going, how are we going to manage? How are we going to cope with all the friction that goes on? We begin to value our investments and our money more than we value what God has told us in Scripture. The world tells us, just go ahead, go into debt. The world tells us it's okay. You can pay it later. The world says, get what you want now. The world says, it's okay. Buy now, pay later. And sure enough, we do when we buy into that mentality. It might seem like an easy fix when you can just go out and just say, you know what, it's 0% financing, so I can get whatever I want to get. And then all of a sudden, as the terms of that 0% financing end, you go, well, now what do I do? Because, you know, I didn't have to put any money down now, but now it's catching up with me. That can happen with our situations in our lives, whether it's buying a car or a house, whether it's buying furniture, whatever it might be. In today's day and age, whether you go on eBay or Amazon, you can buy now and pay later. It's very convenient for us. And we get caught in that trap. Instead of saying, wait a second, what can I afford? What do I need? Versus, what do I want? You see, a lot of times we have stress in our finances, not because we're stretched beyond our limits, because we have other things that came up we weren't prepared for. But sometimes there's friction in our finances because we get things that we don't need, that we want. It would be nice to have. So you go ahead and you get it, and all of a sudden at the month you're going, well, where did my money go? And you begin to look back and you go, wow, I didn't realize I had spent all that much money on those things, whether it's Amazon or coffee, Starbucks, or going to McDonald's, or going out to eat to a nice restaurant, that all of a sudden we go, wow, I didn't really realize how much we began to spend on those things. Because we all get caught up in those things. Hey, yes, it'd be nice to do this. And then all of a sudden when you take a step back, you go, but what's the reality? Do I need to do this? Now, don't get me wrong, it's okay to do special things and to get special things, but when we're living a lifestyle of constantly living beyond our means by going out and eating in nice restaurants or getting things we don't need, then that's where we have a friction problem at. When we're living beyond our means, when we're choosing to do that, not when it's outside our control, but when we choose to do that, we begin to have friction. We begin to neglect our families. We begin to neglect our relationships. We try to work harder. We try to find ways to get more money. And we're never satisfied because we always want more. We always need more. It's never enough. If I would just have this amount of money in my bank account, I'll be okay. And then we get that amount in our bank account and we're still not okay because now we need more money because we're never satisfied with what we have. Scripture tells us this morning that where our heart is where our treasure will be. Scripture tells us that when we are in this world, that we are going to be tempted to live beyond our means. Luke 12:15 says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." But what we do is, as individuals, we think that life is about what we have. And the things that we have, we think are valuable in our possessions and not our relationships. Not with one another and not with God. The struggle is an age-old battle of how do we manage finances. It's nothing new. Jesus was even asked that very question about finances when the rich man came and he said, "Hey, Jesus, what do I need to do here to follow you and to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, what to the rich man? He said, "Sell all that you have, give it away, and follow me." And what did the rich man say? "No, that's too difficult. I can't do that. I can't give up my money. I can't give up my possessions. I can't do that, Jesus. Ask me anything else, and I'll follow you." And Jesus said, "That's all it is. Just give it all up and follow me." We're reminded when he's asked about the question of taxes. Well, who do you pay taxes to, Jesus, when he was trying to be trapped by the Pharisees? And Jesus is very clear. You live within your means. You pay what you owe to the government. And if you're able to financially give to the church, you can give to the church, whatever that might be. But Jesus is very clear when it comes to money to make sure that we live within our means of things. You see, a lot of times we will think that we are what we have. That our personality and how we see ourselves is based upon what we have. What type of clothes we have. What type of house we have. What type of job we have. What type of car we drive. Even what type of church do you go to, we can allow to define us and who we are. Those things do not define us. Those things do not make us who we are. They are things in which God has blessed us with. But you see, just like in the Middle East, we here in America have gotten caught up with the more you have, the more you're blessed. And the more things you have, the more that God has blessed you. And the less things you have, you're not blessed. That we have bought into that Middle Eastern culture idea that if you have a lot of things, then you're blessed. And if you don't, then you're not blessed. That's not what God says. God tells us that our value comes from Him, that God defines who we are, that the psalmist says, "I knew you before you were born, that I knit you together in your mother's womb, that I saw the days that have been planned for you, because you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made by our Creator." What we have does not define us. Our possessions, our money, does not define us. And we forget how valued we are by God. That when tough times come, we try to fill that void in our life by buying stuff and accumulating more things and more things, because we think the things that we'll buy or having more money will make us happier. And it will, for a short amount of time, until you see the next thing that you want. And then the next thing you want, because those things are temporary. But God's love and the relationship He wants to have with us is permanent. But a lot of times we have friction in our finances because we think we have to accumulate a lot of stuff. You know the old saying, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And I think in today's day and age, it's even worse than when I was growing up as a kid because of the internet. Because we have social media, and on social media, everybody is posting everything. All the new cars they're getting, all the new furniture they're getting, the new houses they're buying. And all of a sudden, you begin to look at those things, and you begin to go, "Wow, that's a nice house, you know." And you begin to look around your house, you might go, "You know what, I'm not really happy with my house, so you know, maybe it's time for me to buy a new house." Although there's nothing wrong with your house, you've lived in your house forever, and all of a sudden somebody buys a new house and posts it on Facebook or on the internet, and we're just beginning to think, you know, "Wow, it would be really nice to have a house like that." And we begin to say, "You know what, I'm no longer content with my home that I've been in for X amount of years. Or maybe we had a reliable car. Maybe it's got 200 and some thousand miles on it. And all of a sudden somebody pulls up with a brand new car and we're like, wow, if I had a car like that, I'd be happy. My car's got 200,000 miles on it. And all of a sudden we begin to find things wrong with our car that's never had an issue with that we've always been content with. Because you see, we will always find a way to make ourselves unhappy if we compare other people to ourselves. If we compare our finances to other individuals, we will always be unhappy because we'll always say, why can't I have what they have? How come they have more than I have? It's a joke sometimes when we say, boy, well, what am I doing wrong that they're doing right? And the reality is nothing. Because God gives us what we need, and God says you're taken care of. And just because one person might have X amount of money, the other person might have X amount of money, it doesn't make anybody greater or less than anybody else. It doesn't mean this person's blessed and this person's not blessed. It doesn't mean that God says that I'm not showing favor to you, but I'm going to show favor to this person. That's not what it means. We all come from different circumstances and different backgrounds. Our stories are different. But so many times we will let money divide us. I remember in my last church, we were having a discussion about changing worship times. We were going to go from three services, because we had two traditional services and a praise service, down to a praise and a traditional service. And I remember at the time, the question that came up was, how do you evaluate this? Was, well, who gives the most money at what service? And all of a sudden, money was being used to determine whether or not we should go from three services to two services. Because you see, money can divide the church. Money can divide our marriages. Money can divide our families. Money can divide our relationships if we're so caught up into how much we make. Money can change how we look at people. And God says that we should see them the same way. Whether they have little money or a lot of money, that we are to see them as God's children. To see them as our brothers and sisters and to love them. And not to define them by their money, but by who they are in God. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and worms destroy, where thieves break through and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and where rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, as we heard this morning. God tells us we have a choice within our lives, that we can be intentional with accumulating a lot of earthly things, or we can be intentional about how we use the things that God has given us and be content with the things that God has given us and trust that God will take care of us, even we don't know how that might happen. We can be intentional on things. For instance, if you go to the refrigerator, you're not going to drink milk that probably expired a month ago because it's not going to taste well. You're going to be intentional when you go to a restaurant and you're ordering something and it doesn't come out the way you might like it. You might tell the waiter or waitress, hey, can you take this back and recook it? But when it comes to things like our finances, we're not very intentional. We just kind of blow it off and say, you know, whatever. But there are so many other things in our life that we're so intentional with, but yet we're not intentional when it comes to God providing for us and trusting that God will provide for us. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean you say, I don't have to do anything on my part, that God will provide. I don't have any responsibility on my end of how I'm managing things or what I'm doing with my finances, because God will provide. No, that's not how God works. God says that we have to be responsible with what He's given us, and then He'll take care of the rest. But so many times, people and so many times churches will live by that motto, oh, it won't matter because God will just take care of it. We can put whatever number we want down because God will provide, because Scripture tells us that. That's testing God, folks. That's not asking God to provide. That's testing God and saying, okay, God, let's see what you got. And Scripture is very clear that we are not to test God. There's a difference from testing God and relying on God. And God says that if we do our part and if we are faithful on our part, that He will take care of the rest. That He will continue to provide for us. And as a pastor, sometimes that's really hard at times. And I'm sure for other individuals as in the churches, whether it's here or other churches that serve in the role of finance sometimes, that when you begin to look at numbers occasionally, you kind of can get a little worried or concerned and say, okay, well, how is this going to shape it out at the year end? But you know what? Every year, God has been faithful. Not because we say, okay, God, it's all on you, but because the people have been faithful, God has been faithful, and in some way, shape, or form, God has provided in a way we might not have ever thought He provided, but God will provide. But it doesn't mean we don't do our part. It doesn't mean we just sit back and relax and say, God, it's all on you. It means that we have to make sure that we're not wasting the money that God's given to us. It means that we have to make sure that we're not living out of our means, and we have to make sure that we're coming to God and saying, God, can you give me what I need and not what I want? That we need to invest in the eternal. That when it comes to friction in our lives with finances and our time, we think we have as much time in the world, or we think we have as much money in the world, but all that will run out. The one thing that will not run out is people's souls, where we spend so much time looking at our money, worrying about our money, worrying about, am I going to have time to do this? That all that's going to pass away. That when we take our final breath, guess what? Our money in our bank account, they stay back here, folks. But what doesn't is people's souls. We spend so much time worrying about money that we lose track of the eternal, which is people's souls, people's lives. And God says we can focus on the temporary or the eternal. I remember I had a family member, and when I was growing up as a kid, they were talking about the funeral and preparing for the funeral, and they said, you know, just to let you know that when I die, I want to basically have my stuff buried with me. And we were like, well, why is that? And they're like, because I want to make sure my possessions go with me when I'm dead. And the person thought that they could take the possessions with them to heaven. And it was interesting because that was the mentality, was just put in the coffin with me or put in the grave with me. I'll take it with me. And that person had accumulated a lot of things in their life, things they couldn't take with them. But they thought if you just buried it with them, that would go with them to eternity. Folks, the things we have in this earth are temporary. They're going to fade away. What matters is people's lives and how we're investing in people's lives. What matters is, are we truly focused on our relationship with God, and are we truly concerned about God? Provide for my needs and take care of me. I'll trust God that you will do that. I'll do my part. You do your part, God. But also, God, help me to focus on what really matters, and that is people's souls, the eternal. To invest in the eternal. You see, when we're willing to let go of our stuff and realize that it's not my stuff. It's funny because Tyler, my oldest son, has had a job in school where they would take him out to work crews during the school to get him exposed to some different jobs. And so he would earn some money for that. And he has his bank account. And he keeps saying, oh, Dad, I got all this money. I can buy whatever I want to buy, Dad. I say, okay, you can buy whatever you want to buy, okay? And then all of a sudden he goes, you know, Dad, I only have this much money left. Or, Dad, I only have this much money left. And all of a sudden, you know, he's trying to accumulate all this stuff because he's like, I got all this money. I can buy all this stuff. But one thing I keep telling him was like, you know, Tyler, I said, do you realize that the money you have isn't really yours? Yeah, it is, Dad. It's my money. I work for it. I can show you how I work for it. Here's my timesheet. Here's how many hours I put in. It's my money. And I'll say to him, you know, it's not your money. That God enabled you to have that job that you work to get the money. And then I'll talk to my other two boys, remind them to, you know, that all that we have is from God. That it's not ours. But so many times we'll say it's our house, our car, our job, our money, our church, our home. Whatever it might be, we say it's ours. And we forget it's not ours. That everything we have, from our money to our time to our families to our kids to our church, it belongs to God. And God has said, I'm going to give this to you freely. I'm entrusting you with it. What are you going to do with it? That once we realize that everything we own in this world is not ours, it's God loaning it to us. God's saying, I'm giving this to you. Then how we live our life begins to change, and how we see money begins to change, and how we begin to see belongings begins to change, because it's not ours. But so many times we'll say, it's my money, I deserved it, or I earned it. And we forget that it's God who gave us that opportunity to have the money that we have, or have the possessions that we have, or to have the kids that we have. You see, Jesus tells us in verse 21, where our treasure is where our heart will be also. That's where the center of our heart is, our thoughts, our affection, our attitudes. The place where everything comes is from our heart. If we are more concerned about money and material possessions, then guess what? Everything else around us will suffer. Matthew 6:24 says, we cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and desire the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And what he's saying here is the fact that we have to choose either serve God or serve ourselves. That money is not a bad thing. People will say, oh, money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil, folks. It's how we use the money that we have. It's how we use our resources that we have. Money is not evil. Having a lot of money isn't evil. It's not a bad thing. It's how we use the resources that God has given us. That we can either choose to serve that and say, I'm set for life. I don't need anything else because I got a lot of money and a lot of good things going on. Or we can say, no matter how much money we have, God, I still need you. God, I still need you to take care of me and provide for me. God, all that I have comes from you. See, money is not a bad thing, but we make it out to be a bad thing. And it's not. It's how we use it and what our heart's attitude is. You see, we can either serve ourselves and our own gratifications, or we can serve God. You see, sometimes our finances become a master of our lives and can begin to control us. And a master is somebody who controls every single detail of your life. And whether we know it or not, maybe we're letting finances this morning, maybe we're letting the way we use our time this morning control us and be the master of our lives. Instead of allowing God to be the master of our lives. You see, we need to choose wisely. We need to have a balance. We need to have a balance and realize that what God has given us is from Him, and how can we have that balance to make sure that we're using it to take care of our needs for ourselves, for our family, for the church, as well as making sure that we're not getting so caught up into it all. You see, a lot of times when it comes to money, the idea is to get more and to accumulate as much as you can. And so saying, how can I use this in the best possible way? How can I live with my means? And how can I make sure that maybe somebody else is glorified through God using what I'm giving? Do you remember the widow's mite story? When the widow only put a penny in, basically, and the Pharisee's like, oh my goodness, look at her. She's a horrible person. She only put in a penny. And what did Jesus say? She gave all that she had, whether it's a penny or whether it's $1 million. Because God can use our gifts for Him. And maybe this morning you're thinking about, well, you know, Pastor, I've been wanting to give to church, but I can't. Because I just can't do it. Because I have that set structure. I have that way to live in my means. I don't know how I would do it. Well, I would pray about it. And you know what? It's okay, too, not to feel like you have to necessarily give. Because You can give in other ways. If you're not able to financially support the church, you can give and support the church by your time, your gifts, your service, and your talent. That not everybody is able to give. And I'll tell you that I know that there's an individual in my last church who didn't come to church. They refused to come to church because they said, "Pastor, I can't offer anything financially to the church because of the fact I'm already stretched beyond my means. And so I'm not going to come to church because I feel bad and because I think the expectation is that if you come to church, you have to put something in the offering plate." And no matter how many conversations I have with that individual saying, it's about your heart's condition. It's not about what you put in the plate. It's about your heart's condition. And if you're not financially able to give, that's okay. How can you give in other ways? But even in the church, we're so consumed with finances. It's interesting because, you know, when we went to online giving and when we used to pass the plate, it was funny because individuals would comment to me and say, you know, "Pastor, I get strange looks because I don't put anything in the offering plate, but I give online." Because even here in the church, when we used to pass the offering plate, we would kind of look and go, "Well, they didn't put anything in the plate. What's wrong with them?" Because we can allow finances to create friction in our lives if we focus so much on it. What we do with our money is between us and God. Nobody else, but between us and God. What we do in the church is between us and God. Nobody can tell you that there's a set formula of how to do X, Y, and Z. That is between you and God and how much you think you can do, not only in the church, but outside the church, in your community, in your neighborhood, to choose wisely. And how do we do that? First of all, we're content with what we have. We don't go, "Oh, can I get this?" or "If I need this." We're content with what we have. And also, look at where our money goes. I know Melly and I have started doing that ourselves, that we're trying to kind of keep a record of, okay, where did our money go this month? So we can look back and go, "Wow, we didn't know that we spent that much money on Amazon or on going out to eat or, you know, whatever the case might be." Or, "We didn't realize that we spent that much money on groceries when we had already the stuff here in the house that we could have used instead of going to the store just to get it because we wanted something else," or whatever. That it's really eye-opening when you begin to look back on where your money goes and go, "Wow, I didn't realize that amount of money went to coffee every week," or "I didn't realize that amount of money went to gas in my car every week." It's very eye-opening, and it begins to shape how we see things and how we begin to manage things. But not only that, we all need a dedicated day off during the week. We need some time away from things. We need some time away from work, from finances. We just need some time to enjoy life. And a lot of times we have friction in our finances because we don't take a step away and we don't enjoy life. And we all need to find a Sabbath day, whatever that day might be. A time just to enjoy life, to be with family. A time just to try to relax. A time to be with God's creation. But not only that, when you begin to start struggling with your finances and that friction keeps in, begin to make a list of what you're thankful for. Begin to start making a list of all the things God has done for you, and it'll shift your focus from what you don't have to the things that God has already blessed you with. And then that'll change our perspective as well. When all of a sudden we begin to write those things down, we begin to see, "Wow, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. I've been blessed." And it changes our perspective and says, "Wow, God has been good to me." You see, when we put God first and we allow God to work in our lives and we truly give all our stuff back to Him, then that is when our lives are changed, and that's when our focus changes because we realize that God gives us what we need. Lord's Prayer we just prayed a few minutes ago, it said, "What? Give us our daily bread." What is meant by that? Our daily bread? Give me what I need today. It doesn't say, "And Lord, give me next week's bread, give me next month's bread, give me next year's bread." It says, "Give us our daily bread," meaning, "Give me what I need today." Bread is sustenance. It's not something that, hey, it'd be nice to have, but it's something that God says He'll provide because it's a need. Give us our daily bread. Give us what we need, and God will provide. This morning, as we continue to come together and worship, let us take time sometime this week to thank God for all that we have and remember that God gives us all that we need, that God will always provide.
Please stand as we sing the song, Take My Life and Let It Be. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to
And as we conclude our time together this morning, just a reminder that in the Senior Center that there will be a class that Magna will be teaching. So if you want to stay afterwards and join Magna and the others. Also, just a reminder about the cards in the back too, if you would sign them for Andy and for the police department if you want to do that. And this morning as we leave, let it be a prayer every single day of our lives. Take my life and let it be. Let's sing that one more time. Let that be the prayer of this week.
We'll sing verse 1.
Take my life and let it be
consecrated.
Lord, that is our prayer this week, that everything would flow in ceaseless praise. And Lord, we give you our lives today. Amen. Now may the grace and peace of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now as you go. And may the peace of God go with you. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday, July 4th.